greatness. It's you donating plasma to help save lives and earning extra cash to help your family. At the Grifols Plasma Donation Centers of Biomat USA and Telechris Plasma Resources, greatness means providing a better donor experience and better pay. Now new donors earn $200 in just 3 visits. Refer a friend and earn even more. To find the nearest Biomat USA or Telechris Plasma Resources, go to grifflesplasma.com. That's G-R-I-F-O-L-S plasma.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Adoption Focus. My name is Jennifer Jaworski, and I'm a social worker with Adoption Associates of Michigan. This is Adoption Associates' premier talk radio blog show. Adoption Associates and its staff are trusted leaders in adoption, and we have placed well over 5,000 children into loving homes. Since 1990, we have advocated, supported, and nurtured both birth families and adoptive families, and helping families and birth parents grow through the adoption process is very important to us. Our offices are located in Jenison, Lansing, Farmington Hills, and Saginaw, and our pregnancy and adoption services are available throughout all of Michigan. One of Adoption Associates' commitments is to this weekly radio show, so thank you very much for listening in today. We do hope that you find this forum to be inspirational, educational, and thought-provoking. Today, we are talking about something that is experienced by many couples, and it's the topic of infertility. I know that this is quite a personal topic for our guest today, and I'd like to welcome to the show Claire. Are you with us?
Hi, Jennifer. Yes, I am.
Good morning. Thank you for being on the show.
Good morning. My pleasure.
I appreciate you coming on the podcast to talk about the topic of infertility, because it is a very personal experience for many people, as I know it was for you and your husband as well. I'd like to, if we could, have you start back at the beginning of your journey to parenthood and share with us what that looked like, what that experience was for you and your husband.
Mm-hmm. Sure. We even before we got married, we talked about wanting a big family and wanting, you know, 5 or 6 children, and we were so excited and very hopeful, and I had it all planned out. Like many people, I had it planned and right on schedule. 2 years after we were married, we got pregnant for the first time. Mm-hmm. It was such an exciting time. We were just over the moon and couldn't believe that, you know, that it was already happening. Mm-hmm. And then a couple months later, we weren't pregnant anymore. We had our first of several miscarriages, and it was a very challenging time over the next, oh, close to almost 10 years, we just weren't able to conceive.
Hmm. So that happened for several years, it sounds like you said?
Mm-hmm. Yep, it did.
Okay. Yep. And so lead us through what that looked like for you guys. Obviously, it sounds like you and your husband went through a great deal emotionally, as many couples do that are faced with infertility. What was this like for you emotionally and for your husband?
It was the most difficult thing we've ever faced. There were just so many different emotions. There was blame. There was blaming ourselves individually that you know, it was our fault, or it was, you know, something wrong with us. And then there was also, unfortunately, blaming each other. And it was a very difficult time in our marriage and our relationship. And for me, personally, emotionally, I felt very incomplete and very out of touch and isolated.
So in saying, you know, that you felt isolated, does that mean that you felt very limited in the people that you could talk to about this?
I did. And I also, it was very, very challenging to participate in baby showers and, you know, to put on that happy smile and be, you know, of course I was genuinely happy for my friends and my family who were getting pregnant and having children a lot during that time frame. It was very, very challenging though to do those things. And for many years, we distanced ourselves from couples with young kids, from, you know, we just stayed kind of away from that whole part of life, which made us miss out on a lot of family gatherings and things. It was very hard for quite some time.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what you felt the role of your extended family was in this. It sounds like you touched on that just a little bit. Is this something that you kept private, or did you have individuals in your family that were supportive during this time?
We had individuals that were supportive. I think people just had varying degrees of knowledge. You know, our immediate parents knew more closely what was going on, but we got to the point where we were very cautious and we wouldn't share our news as early on as maybe we did those first couple of times. But yeah, I had my mom and I had some close friends. It's a challenging topic. What was interesting though, is it's not as uncommon as you may feel when you're personally going through it. You feel like you're the only person that's ever had this happen. And especially if you talk to, you know, to women with children or without children, you'll find that it's not as uncommon as it feels. And that helped.
How did you learn that?
Just research, talking to our doctor, talking to my mom, some of my aunts, some of my older friends.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully that, did that serve? I guess it's a better question to alleviate a little bit of that feeling alone that you felt, even though you still struggled with the infertility. Now you recognize that you weren't alone in this.
Mm-hmm. It did. It did help a little. It was still very challenging, of course, because we wanted to start a family and wanted to share that love with a child and experience all of those moments and milestones. And it was really just strong in our hearts that this was meant for us. This was part of our plan. Mm-hmm. And when that wasn't lining up with what was happening, it was very, very difficult.
So experiencing infertility is deeply personal for many women and women who've experienced this. They often find it to be, as you said, a lonely and isolative sort of place that lacks hope for the possibility of becoming parents. How did you and your husband process this? What did you do? And I guess my other question is, how do you feel your struggles with infertility may have impacted your marriage?
Okay. Yeah, we processed it, I think, in different ways. My husband stayed really busy. I got very isolated, was very introspective, and spent a lot of time by myself, which in retrospect was probably not the best plan. I also did talk to a counselor and talk to our ministry a little bit. What we found worked the best, though, was we confided and truly just trusted and were open with each other. And especially since this started happening early in our marriage, that was kind of challenging, right? I mean, we were just mm-hmm. figuring this out, but, you know, we just were very open and honest. And I told him, I feel like I failed. I feel like this is my fault and there's something wrong with me. And we were, you know, we grieved together and we acknowledged each of those pregnancies weren't a mistake, weren't, you know, but that was a part of us. And that was something that we had to grieve. So that helped us. It was a very challenging time for our marriage. I was not the nicest person. I think, you know, just your body is going through some things when you have increased your hormones and then now they're gone. And so there's emotional, you know, physical, chemical things that are happening. And then the emotional side, I was angry. I lashed out. I mean, it was not the best time, but I think when we really turned to each other and, you know, and focused a little bit more on our faith, that's when we kind of turned a corner and it made our marriage stronger in the long run.
Yeah. And that's, you know, common for what we hear in with couples who are struggling with infertility. They find themselves at the end of the process, either not well connected in their marriage and having to deal with that, or made stronger because of mm-hmm. What they've been through together that has brought them closer. And you've kind of segued a little bit, Claire, into what I wanted to ask you next. You talked about turning that corner. So there was a point in time where the two of you were ready to consider becoming parents through adoption. It wasn't the initial plan, but you mm-hmm. were now ready to consider that. Can we talk about that a bit and you share what that was like for you?
Sure. We had just done a whole bunch of infertility treatments and had gone, you know, we went the medical route first, and we were getting to a point where it was just very, very hard on my body and very challenging for us as a family. And we started to wonder if that was really ever part of, you know, our story, if that was going to be something that worked. And we just spent a lot of time. We actually had a road trip, and we spent, you know, hours in the car just talking about all the options. We didn't know a lot of people who had adopted, but we were thinking that, you know, maybe that's a route for us, because that's what people say when you, when they hear that you don't have children, they say, well, you can only adopt, which is sounds, you know, so simple, you know? So we just started kind of exploring it. And my husband had one of his aunts, they've adopted both domestically and internationally. And on that same trip, we stopped to see them and hear their story and, you know, hear personal things that we had never really learned about them. And I just started asking. I find that the adoption community is very, very open and welcoming, and everyone wants to share their story and wants to help others with it. And so I started asking the question and saying, you know, what does this look like? Where would you start? And we just started doing some research. Mm-hmm. We researched different options, different programs, both international and domestic, and, you know, and just kind of started thinking about it, and then spent that time together really just connecting and talking about what that would look like for us. And ultimately we wanted to be able to share our passion for life and our love with a child. And I know through lots of my close relationships and, you know, family who are family that aren't biologically related, that blood doesn't make family. And then we decided that this was the right path for us.
And once you made that decision, the two of you together, what were the changes that occurred in your marriage and in you personally once you made this choice?
Well, a lot of things changed for us. The big thing was is when I talked with my husband, we agreed that we couldn't think of it as, or, you know, think at all that adopting would in any way change the grief or the loss that we experienced. I think that was the really big thing for me, is that I had to come to terms with a biological child wasn't part of our path. And I didn't want to make it seem like I was just replacing one for another. And so we spent some more time just really focusing on ourselves, on our health and our, you know, our mental health and our physical health, and just being in the best state of mind so that if we're bringing a child into our family, that it can be the best beginning possible. Mm-hmm. And then I allowed myself to get excited for the first time in a very long time. You know, we had stopped buying baby things over all that time. You know, we had a nursery. We packed it all up and put it away because we didn't want that reminder. And when we started thinking about it and talking about adoption, we started, you know, I remember one Sunday we just walked through the baby store, and it was just a different feeling, there was hope. There was definitely a lot of hope. And then we really embraced the process, and we said, you know, we don't know if we have 9 months or how long we have to wait. We might wait longer, but we're going to enjoy every minute of this waiting and every minute of this experience that for so long we've not been able to partake in.
And so in that process, once you came to that decision that adoption was the route that you and your husband would take, how did you go about discussing which agency to use, which steps to move forward? You know, you were coming from infertility, and even though you took the time to do your homework, it sounds like physically and emotionally, as you said, then you had to take those next steps with lots of decisions to be made there as well. Mm-hmm. How did you walk through that process with your husband, and what did that look like for the two of you?
As you mentioned, we're just big on information. I really feel like information is key in so many parts of this process. So the first thing we did is there are several agencies that offer open sessions where you can go and just learn about a different program. And so we picked different agencies. We went to one to learn about international adoption. We went to another to learn about domestic adoption. And then we talked to our friends, family, extended network that knew people who had adopted or who themselves were adoptive parents. And we got some recommendations, but we just, you know, just absorbed all that information. I went to a adoption retreat for waiting moms. Even though we weren't yet waiting, I went. And it was a really great way to connect with the community and to better understand all different facets, all different kinds and scenarios and ways that families come together. And so those were some of the things that that we did, ultimately we decided that for our family that a domestic infant program was the best fit. And so we pursued that with an agency.
And the most exciting news in all of this, if you'd like to go ahead and share, is that you did subsequently adopt you and your husband. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure, we did. We went through the process and we were waiting and we got that phone call. We got a phone call that a family wanted to talk to us and we got to meet them and we got to meet our son, and it has been an incredible experience ever since. And it just, there's no words to describe that moment when we first held him and when he was part of our family, and it's just been incredible. I wouldn't change any of it, even the pain, the loss, the grief. I wouldn't change any of that for the blessing that our family has now, and really believe that those struggles and the time for reflection and the time for grieving, that all of that ultimately led us to a wonderful place where we would be able to open our hearts to this amazing little man.
Awesome. Claire, we often hear from couples who share how they have a fresh new perspective after moving on from infertility. And that time frame is obviously different for everyone. Everyone mm-hmm. comes to adoption with some different experiences. But what role do you believe infertility played in your life? And how do you feel that you have grown or changed through your experience with infertility?
It's a great question, Jennifer. I think that probably the biggest thing that it taught us is that there is nothing that we can't overcome. It made our marriage stronger. It made our relationship stronger. And whatever parenting or life throws at us, I know that, you know, we've been in a dark place. We've struggled and we've come out of it better than ever. The other thing that it's made us do is appreciate all of the little moments with our son. When we were struggling mm-hmm. and especially many, you know, extended friends and family didn't know we were struggling. And I would hear people talk about how they had to fill out a permission slip or they had to take their child to this appointment or that appointment. And they would get so frustrated in the day-to-day of parenting and they would be venting and sharing this. And I would just sit back and think, you know, we want that. We want that more than anything. I would mm-hmm. give up anything I had to have that. And so I feel now that of course we still have those day-to-day struggles and there are challenges with parenting. I try to remember ultimately what a great gift it is to be able to share that love with a child and, you know, lead them, teach them, watch them grow and love them. And so we try to kind of balance those two perspectives, just knowing how precious of a gift being a parent is.
You're absolutely right. And you've done an excellent job, Claire, describing what this looked like from your perspective and the impacts on you personally and then on your relationship with your husband. And we are shortly approaching the end of the show, but I wanted to take some extra time here to give you the opportunity to share some final thoughts, anything that was important to you that you felt our listeners should hear about infertility and the road to adoption or your experience.
I thought a lot about this one, you know, just in preparing to share with you. And I think the biggest thing that I took away from all of this is that infertility and loss will always be a part of our story. Just like any other grief or loss, it never goes away. It gets easier for sure. I think though, you know, it will always be a part of our story, always a part of our journey. And we had to accept that. That was a big part. And then when we came to an agency and we started the process, the biggest thing was, you know, I told my husband, I'm like, we can't do this. We have to search our hearts. We cannot do this if we think for some reason that this is going to fix us or replace those losses or, you know, or heal us. We can't count on this child to fix us. We have to be whole mm-hmm. so that we can give everything to him or her. And I think that's my mm-hmm. biggest piece of advice is make sure that you're whole and that you're ready to love completely and, you know, without boundaries or restrictions before starting down this path, because it's an incredible journey. It's an amazing experience. We wanted it to make sure that it was the best environment we could possibly bring a baby into.
Mm-hmm. Excellent, excellent points, Claire. I'm grateful to you for opening up today and sharing your experiences. And for those of you that are listening that may be interested in connecting with Adoption Associates or getting more information, you can reach us at 800-677-2367. We are live every Tuesday at 11 on Adoption Focus. So we do hope that you'll continue to be in support of our program. Next Tuesday, we'll be speaking with a mom by adoption about their family experience with open adoption. So do tune in for that show. Claire, thank you so much again for today and for opening up about your personal experience.
I'm happy to, Jennifer. I really have enjoyed chatting with you today, and it's been a great experience. So thank you.
And congratulations to you and your husband on the addition of your newest family member. We are happy for you.
Thank you.
Other ways for our listeners to connect with Adoption Associates are on the web at adoptionassociates.net or through the Adoption Associates Facebook page. For now, this is Jennifer on Adoption Focus. Have a great day, everyone. Bye-bye.
Greatness. It's you donating plasma to help save lives. And now at Grifols Biomat USA and Telecris Plasma Resources, new donors earn $200 in just 3 visits. To find the nearest donation center, go to grifolsplasma.com. Greatness. It's you donating plasma to help save lives and earning extra cash to help your family. At the Grifols Plasma Donation Centers of Biomat USA and Telecris Plasma Resources, greatness means providing a better donor experience and better pay. Now new donors earn $200 in just 3 visits. Refer a friend and earn even more. To find the nearest Biomat USA or Telecris Plasma Resources, go to grifolsplasma.com. That's GRIFOLS plasma.com.